Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, I'm Max Talisman and I'm with Chris Gordon on Hellblazer Biz.
Hey everyone, I have the pleasure and the honour of the company of Max Talisman, who's currently over in Hollywood. So, hi Max, thank you for joining me. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yes, of course, I'm super excited to be here.
We're here, obviously, to find out a bit more about yourself and mainly to talk about your new film. It's your directorial debut. Things like this as well. So, we'll just kick this off and see where it goes and find out more about the film, find out more about you
Sounds great. Have a laugh. Super excited.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Cool. Okay. So, I mean, you kind of grew up in DC. It's on the other side of the country to where you are now, I believe.
Yeah.
How was that? I mean, growing up in the nation's capital, because I mean, over obviously from being in the UK, DC is obviously one of the big names. And so what's it like growing up out there with all these, you know, the major monuments and that history that you have?
Yeah. My father is involved in politics. So, you know, I'm very like in tune with that side of things as well. But it's, DC is a really awesome place, to be honest. I grew up like right outside of the city in Bethesda, Maryland. So it's about a 10-minute drive from the city limits of DC. Right. And honestly, I feel very grateful that I grew up there because like it had everything I needed without like being too much in some ways, you know, but like I had such great friends. I had access to theater, mm-hmm. I had access to film, I had access to just being able to, you know, do these fun things around the city and do fun things around the towns. And I love DC, to be honest. Like if DC had like a thriving film industry, I'd probably just stick there because it's such an awesome place. I mean, the truth is, like you mentioned the monuments and stuff, and like the truth is, you know, I mean, I'm sure the truth is that when you live somewhere, you don't do those things.
Yeah.
And like, obviously I would drive past the monuments all the time, but like the fact is I'm not even sure I've done all of them, but I've been to at least most of them at least once. So, but I mean, it's DC is like that. I mean, it's incredible to be in the presence of that history. I do think so. I think obviously when I travel to Europe or places like that, there's so much longer history, you know, in a way that's so cool about DC and about America, that the history is so recent because recent in the terms of, you know, history, right? Like not recent.
Yeah.
The terms of I went to the park yesterday, but like it's like there's something very cool about it, right? You always feel like you're kind of walking in history, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what growing up in DC was like, if that answered your question.
Yeah, it did. I totally get you on the monuments thing as well. When you're over there, you know, I mentioned all these wonderful things, but you're right. I mean, I've lived in London and I've got to say, I missed out loads because you didn't go and visit any of the stuff that everyone else goes on about. Same with Liverpool. Like we mentioned Liverpool before, you got all the Beatles things that you take for granted, you know, and you don't go to see it, but it sounds like a great place. Obviously it's like heart of the politics, but you did. I mean, you started out in performing arts at a very early age as well. So what was it that spurred you into thinking that this is where you wanted to really go in, you know, what you wanted to continue with?
So my grandfather took me to see Cats when I was three.
Wow, okay. Fantastic musical.
Yeah, no, for sure. I have like this love-hate relationship with it because I think it's like, it's the reason I'm an actor. But like, he took me to see Cats and it was like this beautiful snowy DC night. There's this restaurant in DC that's like a historic restaurant called the Old Epic Grill.
Yeah.
And we went there and they had like these giant nutcrackers outside, and then we walked to the theater and it was just kind of like this it's a memory that sticks with you for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least it did with me. And it was just as soon as I saw Cats, I was just like, this is what I'm meant to do. And I mean that's as I was three. So that's a long time ago, and I've just ever since then been pursuing it and building my way up through this trajectory of what I've chosen to do. So it was Cats was the birth of it.
Brilliant.
In like 1996. So
See, that makes me feel really old now, because he was 3 in 1996 and I was 22.
I was just thinking, like, Max, you just gave away your age.
I know.
But, you know, it's okay.
I was at my second year at uni then. Oh, actually, it's quite funny because we just had a Facebook group. We've all sort of reunited on Facebook from our years. It's great. So it's quite.
Oh, that's so fun.
It is, yeah. But your Cats, I mean, what an awesome way to get into it. I mean, absolutely. I love that musical, seeing it live now. When they come up the aisles and everything. I won't mention the movie.
No, we shouldn't. I haven't seen it. So,
haven't you?
I have nothing to say about it.
I wouldn't say, to be honest with you. My only comment, I'll leave it at that, is the fact that I think the lesser known named actors in there, like the one who played Bomb Ballerina, she was phenomenal. She was a ballet dancer, perfect for the role. The named actors, I think, were let down a big style, you know, and that's all I'll say. Like, even Dame Judi Dench, goddess of theatre, of the stage and screen. And I didn't quite catch it. I think the bigger named actors were the ones that were just let down. But it wasn't them their acting. I think it was just a whole cacophony of things. But that's all I'll say.
Makes sense. I've been staying away from it, not because I, like, dislike the show, but because I'm just, like, don't want to be let down.
Yeah, I don't blame you. The show's amazing, because it's a phenomenal show. Lloyd, well, musicals are my favourites.
Me too.
Yeah, they're absolutely brilliant. Can't get enough of them. Cool, excellent. I mean, so obviously that's spurred you on from that early age. You've done a lot of theatre in your time. You know, you've gone from there. Then you went from DC, you went to New York, and you got accomplished actor on stage in New York as well. It's like, you know, the New York City Broadway. This is, like, you know, the place for theatre, isn't it, really, in the States?
Yeah, no, it totally.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, that was absolutely just a phenomenal experience. I can only imagine the feeling. I mean, I did theatre a long time ago, and I've got a passion for theatre. I can only imagine the feeling of going on stage in somewhere like New York City and just thinking that's where you are. Sorry, I lost you then, I think.
Can you hear me?
I can, yep.
Okay, perfect. So, so I moved to New York. I actually mostly did film when I moved to New York.
Okay.
I sort of switched gears when I got there. It was a pretty quick adjustment just to, obviously, you know, New York is the center for theater. Mm-hmm. So I more just intook so much theater. I saw so much. Yeah. I lived there. But I really as soon as I got there, it just kind of, like, the cards were dealt, and I just that's when I started to make the adjustment to film, actually. Yeah, when I got to New York 5 years ago.
So New York is the New York is the birth of the Max Talisman film career.
Yes, totally, it is. It's and also the birth of me as an adult. I think, to be honest, I think, like, those 5 years changed me completely as a person and every. Like, in I hope, very positive ways.
Brilliant.
I think it made me a more responsible person. I think it made me a more responsible artist. And I think it just informed who I am today in a way that no other time in my life has. And so, like, I think I could live anywhere in the world for the rest of my life. Like, you know, right now I'm living in Los Angeles, but I think because of those 5 years and just what they meant and how I came out of them, I think I'll always consider myself a New Yorker first.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's fantastic. I think New York's very much like London. Once you've been there, once you're there, you're a Londoner or you're a New Yorker for life, wherever you are in the world.
I mean, I would hope so. I love that city so much. It's unlike anything in this entire world, I think, to be honest. But,
well, you're right. I visited in 2000. Because it was the year before, I was at the Tower the year before, sadly, obviously, everything happened. It is a phenomenal city. Just to see the greats with the steam coming out, like you see on all the films from, like, you know, the gangster films. Oh, such a feeling.
For sure. It's a stunning place. I mean, and to live there, every day I kind of wake up and be like, holy crap, like, I'm in New York City. Which was always, my goal was always to live there. Like,
yeah.
To live there for that time, it was awesome.
Brilliant. It sounds absolutely fantastic. It's a place where, if you live there, it's a fast pace. It's a brilliant, it's an amazing city. So much culture, so much diversity, so much, it encompasses everything, I think, of life.
Absolutely. Best food, best theater, best film. I mean, there's just so much there. It's so alive as a city.
Exactly. So. Oh yeah, definitely. And then you took the plunge to go to LA because obviously you wanted to pursue and expand on your film, your experiences and opportunities. And there's no better place. I know as much as New York's great, there's no better place than LA.
For sure.
So I mean, how's that? I mean, obviously, you're kind of so moving after you moved to LA. How long have you been in LA now?
5 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or 4 months. I just got to LA in like right after the new year. So it's a new journey, but I mean it's the right place. The right place for me to be. So it's been an exciting time. Just as soon as I landed, I was kind of like, you know, everything started happening. So it feels like this is the time to be in Los Angeles. So I'm excited to be here.
Fantastic. So the idea of things like this, did that come to you in New York or was it while you were in LA? Is it something that you've been thinking about for a long time?
So I think the first draft of the script was written like, I want to say 2017.
Okay.
So I was living in New York. And to be honest, I think in a lot of ways this film is kind of like a love letter to the city, to New York itself. And so it was never a question of filming in any other place. So we will be filming in New York City because it's just New York City. Eric Roberts, who's going to be co-starring in the film. He mentioned to me when I met with him that he thought New York City was a character in the film. And I thought that was such a beautiful way to put it because it's New York is always there. Like it's always a presence through the film. It's always leading our characters through the film. So I think things like this was born from a bunch of different ideas. It was born from my love for the city and my need to tell a love story in the city. And by telling a love story in the city, also then telling my love for the city, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But also I think it was also from the idea that I didn't feel like there were gay films for my demographic. I felt like there were, or gay romantic comedies for my demographic. I felt like there were either these gay tragedies or these LGBT tragedies or the queer tragedies, or there were like films like Love, Simon, or, you know, Alex Strangelove, or things like that, which deal so much with coming out, which is like obviously a pivotal moment in any queer person's life is coming out. But like, what about after that? You know, like what if we told a story where coming out wasn't part of the equation? Because the truth is that for so many people, coming out has already happened, right? We don't need to retread our coming outs in every time we see ourselves represented on screen.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was struck by. I was like, there's no film, unless, you know, it's the gay sidekick, but there's no film about just two gay people falling in love post coming out and just being adults falling in love. So that's, I said, it was born from all these different influences, but those, I would say, like, the love for New York plus this, honestly, this kind of need to tell this, to tell a love story in that demographic, that truth was what forced me to write the movie.
Okay, it's a great way and a great explanation. Thank you for that as well, Max. It was really detailed and interesting to find out how that came about. Definitely, I think you're probably going to nail a niche in that film, in that sort of, you know, the genre of film, because you're right. Every film has dealt, as like you said, it's just dealt with coming out and stuff like this, but it's not actually, I think it'd be very novel and interesting and constant. A rom-com dealing with.
Right, exactly. And I think by making it this normal rom-com, then it's universal in its appeal. Yeah. Right. Like it's not, like I mentioned the demographic who I'm, you know, basing it on, but that's not the demographic who I'm hoping to reach.
It's going to reach everybody, you know. It's
The idea is that everyone can find at its core these characters are part of them, you know?
exactly. You know, I mean, it's something that is part of life. It goes, so what, you know, we need, there definitely needs to be that more of showing on screen and more representation on screen. So it's really, really, powerful that you're out, you know, you're out there and pushing that across, which is fantastic. And it, like you say, it will meet every demographic will be hit by this, because it's just a love story that everyone can find parts for, you know, everyone can relate to.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
No, you know, you're welcome. It's, you know, it does sound like it's a brilliant concept, and looking forward to seeing it, the end result when it comes out. It sounds great. You've also got a fantastic cast as well. You know, I've seen you've got an amazing cast line of Eric Roberts, someone else I'd love on my show. He's amazing. But
absolutely iconic. I mean, like, he was kind of this, because we're with the same agency, but I never thought that he would for a second want to be in it. And then, like, when he was, I was like, holy shit, this is a dream come true. I mean, it's like, listen, he's done everything. Like, I mean, he's so iconic, and the fact is that he's in my favorite movie of all time, so The Dark Knight. So, like, it's unreal to me to have this opportunity to work with him. And he's just such a presence and such a, but he connects to it, and he just, I absolutely love talking to him, because I've never met someone before him who just loves acting as much as he does.
That's a fantastic, nice, really good to hear from him about that. And I've heard lots of stories where about Eric, where he's gone in and people just say he's just phenomenal to work with. So did you have him in mind already, or was it something that developed as you went out and reached out to people?
As soon as I thought, like, as soon as I had mentioned Eric to as an option, he was the only option.
Yeah.
So, like, as soon as, like, I kind of, because, I mean, the truth is that this film hasn't been in development for, you know, since 2017, as I said. So, but, like, it took a while to, you know, get the stuff together to cast it. So the first person who was cast other than myself is my friend Charlie Tahan, who's a series regular on Ozark.
Mm-hmm.
And I cast him because, you know, we're very good friends, and I wanted him to be in my film because I want to work with him.
Yeah.
He's just a great person.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, those are the kind of people who you want on your set, are just really good humans who connect to it and who you connect to. And obviously he's so fucking talented, but, like, that's the other part of it. But, I mean, once we really got down to casting this film, when I got to LA, because it became, you know, it was my project once I got there. It was, you know, to really start casting this film. And, like, as soon as I mentioned Eric's name, because he was the first person who I mentioned, and then he was like, and then it was like, well, we can send the script to him. And it became like, for me, it was like Eric Roberts or bust. Like, you know, it's like, damn, let's try to get him. And it was just like one morning I woke up to the phone call that he was interested, and, like, you know, kind of screamed for a little bit, and then pulled myself together and, you know, did all the logistical stuff I had to do, and then screamed some more. But it was awesome. I mean, he's also just such a great person. I mean, like, when I met with him to, you know, go over the script and to go over all that stuff, it was just like, what a genuine good person and what a genuine actor. Like, he really is. He just connects to everything that he wants to do, and
excellent.
I just have nothing but the utmost respect for all of his process.
Brilliant. That sounds absolutely fantastic. He's going to be, I think he's highly valuable for your film as well. It sounds like it's going to be
brilliant. Sure.
Definitely going to be brilliant. Some gravitas, I say, with Charlie as well, and you've got Miles. So you've got such a gravitas and talent and background, a backlog of talent in that film. So
for sure. I mean, Miles was someone who, like, as soon as I met him, I was like, oh shit, like, this is the perfect person for the other lead. I've written this character, and I'd been, you know, seeing tapes and everything. I mean, that was the character who I needed to cast, you know, to really get this thing going, is the other romantic lead. And it just, no one was sticking out of all of these tapes, all these, you know, submissions, just no one who was sticking to it. And then I met Miles, and he had just come from a run eating his bag of carrots, and I was like, oh shit, this, I was like, this dude rocks. And like, we just, you know, connected, and like, we're good friends ever since that first meeting. Yeah. We just vibe really well, and like, so as soon as I met him, I was like, can you just please put these scenes on tape for me, like, please. And he agreed, and he sent it to me within a few days, really quickly. And I watched them once. And as soon as I watched them, I didn't talk to any other person. I just texted him. I was like, can you meet me for dinner on Monday? And I offered him the part.
Nice.
Yeah, he was, I mean, he's absolutely perfect for this role. Fantastic. And he's just a great person also. And I mean, that's the other thing, is we're casting all these people, but we're casting people who are going to be so great to work with.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be such an incredible set, because we have all these people who are just so committed to what they do. It's going to be so great.
Oh, fantastic. It really does sound absolutely amazing. And I mean, I'm just trying to think that obviously the film does sound great. Obviously, it's, you know, we've talked about what it's about. It's obviously two guys. So they've got the same name, haven't they? Start falling in love, and everything is aligned for them to be together. And it talks about its fate. It's like, is fate exactly how it's expected to be? Do you believe in fate? Since you're writing the film.
No, I know, right? It's like, you wrote a film about fate, Max. Do you believe in it?
Catch you out.
No, I know. I think, like, yes, to a degree, I definitely do. I definitely believe in the concepts of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, to be honest, like, the greatest love story I've ever seen is the love story between my parents.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
They've been married for 35 years, and they're just still absolutely in love with each other. And yeah. So I've always believed in, you know, true love and, like, all that stuff, just because I've seen it. I see it every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not a hard thing for me to believe in. Yeah. Fate itself as a concept, yes, I believe in it as well. I think you can take whatever you want from it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think people who are like, you know, I was like, you, this is what I believe. Let me lay it out like this. Yes, I believe in fate, but I also believe in the core of humanity is free will and free choice. So, like, you can obviously change your trajectory any way you choose to. Yeah. But, like, I do think there's an overall plan for each person, yes.
Fantastic. And that's actually, I'm sorry, I know, that's such a great quote to finish on. It's brilliant. It is actually. I mean, I've kind of run out of places to go now. Max, I will draw this to a close on, because I want to keep it punchy for everyone to listen to, which it is fantastic. You have been very, very punchy. And the film.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry, I don't mean that. Yeah, punchy is a really rubbish word. I'm trying to think. You know what I'm trying to say, but it's not that kind of. That's the word that sprang to mind on a Friday night for me. So yeah, I mean, it's been great. I mean, one thing I'm going to ask you, Max, is a signature question. This is a totally out the line thing, and it's before I close this off, because obviously, I mean, you know, it's if it's bear with me, this is an off the wall question. Okay, this is
sure.
Yeah, I had someone from who played a Muppet, who was a puppeteer for the Muppets for 30 years, came on the show, and someone asked this question to him, and I thought, I'm going to ask everyone, because this is a personality question, and we kind of got that already from you in the time we've chosen. I kind of picked up on where, you know, what you believe in and what you're passionate about, and but if you could have a Muppet created after you, what Muppet would it be and why?
is it a Muppet already in creation, or is it like a new dude?
It depends. It could be a new dude if you want it to be one, or it can be one that's already there, or a mix of some. It's a good personality one. It's a weird one, but it's quite a good one.
No, for sure. Yeah. I'm trying to think. It's like, I guess, like, I would be like kind of like the Fonzie Bear, right? Like, kind of like him.
Yeah.
But, like, also, I mean, this is true also with elements of Miss Piggy. Like, it's totally true. So, I would say, like, a mix of them. Because I always, like, in another comparison, I always, you know, the TV show 30 Rock, I always say I'm Jack with, like, a mix of Tracy and Jenna. So, like, right. I feel like that's the same
Yeah,
that's mix of, like, some Miss Piggy, and I think honestly a little Kermit too. So.
Hey there. Oh, that's not. That's like, he makes makes, and I can't do. I can't do with Kermit anymore. I used to.
No, that's good. Piggy, I honestly you're needed on set, Piggy. Yeah, I cannot. I like people can do Kermit the Frog, and I can never. Like, I cannot do it, and I'm not gonna try. But like, definitely, that was great. Honestly,
thank you. Yeah, that's how I started my show. I was doing things like goofy. Hey there, welcome to the Mickey Mouse Club.
Whoa, that's awesome.
But yeah, this, so I've got a repertoire. I'm not going to go into it, but Max, is there anything before I stop the recording for this? Is there anything that you would like to say? Any advice that you give? Because obviously, you know, you're out there. You've got such an experience. You've got such a solid background of and diverse background of where you've lived, where you've come from, and you know now you're landing and with a directorial debut of your own. What kind of before we finish, what kind of advice would you give to anyone who's listening to this? Who's thinking of doing the same?
I think it's just, I think the one thing that's always served me is to never settle. Okay. You know, never settle for anything. Always push yourself for more and never be happy with, I know this is such a weird way to put this, but never be satisfied. You know, like literally live your life like Angelica and Alexander Hamilton. Never be satisfied with your life. Like never always push yourself for more, because I think you can always achieve more. I think you can always, you know, reach more people. You can always strive for more.
Yep.
So don't settle for less than your fullest, absolute fullest potential. That's what I have to say. I do believe that if anyone has a dream or if anyone has, you know, this need to be heard or this need to tell stories, like follow it, follow your intuition, follow that need. Like we need to hear those stories. You know? We need to hear the people who feel like they can't live without telling their stories. We need those.
Definitely. Fantastic piece of advice, Max. Thank you. And I know, obviously, you're very passionate LGBTQ, and you're looking to start with this film. I think you'll definitely become sort of like a role model in showing what can be done and achieved in that area. I mean, I'm lucky enough in Talk Talk. Well, I just mentioned where I work. I'll cut that out. the company I work in, which is it's such a diverse, and it's got some really, really strong LGBTQ community in there, and and it's such a fantastic community to be a part of. Even if you're not actually in that bracket yourself, it's such an inclusive and friendly, a welcoming, warming community. Mm-hmm. So I'll definitely spread all this word through there as well about your film, because I think it's the whole of my company and all my friends and stuff will actually love this idea of this film. They really will. The concept of it. So I think you're definitely on a winner.
Thank you so much. I mean, this is, you know, that's the goal. It's to connect people by film, to connect people by art, you know. That's, what else can you ask for?
Hey, everyone. I hope everyone enjoyed that fantastic chat with Max Talisman there. Looking forward to bringing him back on my show as his film progresses to find out more. Definitely interested in chatting to Max again. Brilliant. Great interview. Thank you, Max, for your time. Appreciate it as always. Thank you to the Anderson Group for reaching out to me to bring Max on the show. I hope everybody enjoyed listening to that. Please tune in. Please subscribe to Hellblazer Biz on all your major podcast apps, as well as YouTube. I'm on Twitter and Facebook as Hellblazer Biz as well. So please reach out, subscribe, and I'll see you all soon. This has been Chris Gordon talking with Max Talisman on Hellblazer Biz.